Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for tonight, for the opportunity to be able to share even what you have done in Liberia, God, and what a privilege it was to be a part of even the mission there and continue to guide and direct even with the many people that were there and different pastors and church leaders, as well as perhaps some that maybe weren't even saved. And I pray, God, that you could, again, continue to use your word in that area and even the curriculum and the things that we shared with them. So we thank you again for the opportunity to share tonight. I pray that you just guide and direct with it all now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. And feel free to ask questions. It's going to be pretty informal here tonight. I've got a bunch of different pictures and videos about it. But, you know, thinking about, again, the opportunity to go on a mission trip, again, you think of people. And again, more precious than gold. So what is a mission trip? I guess that's the first question that I want you guys to think about here tonight is, what is missions? And it's interesting, as I thought about that, I had many different opportunities, a couple of conversations with people and asking, well, what did you do? The first conversation I had actually was in the airport on the way home from Liberia, in Liberia, standing in line. I had a couple of great conversations with people. One of them was actually a doctor who was over in Liberia as a opportunity for him to, he's gone a number of times. He was actually a surgeon teaching the Liberians on how to do surgery. So is that a mission? I think so. I think that's a very important thing to be able to share an opportunity to do that. So that you could consider a mission. What about building? There's people that talk about it. So I had a conversation when I got back with a coworker of mine. He asked again, what I was doing over in Liberia. And as I shared with him, he goes, well, let me know if you ever hear of an opportunity for, you know, to be able to build something, because that's what he's good at. He's very handy. And he's like, you know, I could go over and help people build stuff. I said, yeah, that's another opportunity. I know many mission fields that go over and they build schools or churches or whatever. So you can think of missions as doing that. So again, there's a lot of different opportunities, but the mission trip I went on was a little bit unique. It's similar to the Duluth Bible Church model of missions, where you go to teach people. And you think of, again, the Great Commission. I shared a little bit about our commission as believers when I did a nutshell nugget before leaving for Liberia. But it's also found in Acts as well. If you go to Acts 1:8, here we see Jesus Christ commissioning the apostles after his resurrection, and he tells them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, where? In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth. So again, as an opportunity, you think of as believers to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And again, it can be in your local area, in your hometown, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, surrounding areas, and even to the end of the earth. Why? Because again, people need to hear the word of God and teaching. As I thought about the opportunity to go to Liberia, I partnered with John Clark, as you guys know, from a pastor that's down in Georgia. And the mission originally was started back in 2015, when John went with Brett Nasworth, who had started a mission called DM2, or Disciple Makers Multiplied. And I think of what I found on their website is kind of their philosophy when it comes to ministry. And what is that? And this is what Brett Nasworth says. It's, throughout the world, there exists a tremendous need, along with great opportunity. Many pastors and church leaders lack biblical knowledge, and as a result, they're open to learning from anyone who will teach them. So again, as you think of the opportunity, sometimes going overseas, I think, has been a great opportunity, because again, they're open and willingness to learn and to listen. Like if we tried to have a conference here in Minnesota, for example, sometimes you're hard pressed to get people to want to sit and listen to Bible teaching, especially on some of these conferences that go on and on for hours and hours. But when you go overseas, it seems like these people are just craving teaching and teaching from the Word of God. But as you can see, there's a danger here where it says they're open to learning from anyone who will teach them. And so, unfortunately, what I found is I've gone on a few mission trips now is that there's also a lot of false teaching when you go overseas. So unfortunately, a lot of American missionaries have brought some false teaching to these people as well. So again, Brett says DM2 was conceived to salvage pastors and leaders who fallen prey to modern methods, biblical illiteracy, and various heresies. Our objective is to train and equip these already functioning leaders to be effective disciple makers, bringing them back into a clear understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching them sound doctrine. Now, I really wish I would have had the opportunity to record one young man's testimony when I was talking to him at early on in the conference. It was actually the son of the pastor, the church that we're at. It was one of his sons when I asked him kind of his testimony. And he told me it was just an amazing testimony that when he was 12 years old, you know, he had grown up with his dad as a pastor in Liberia and just really wasn't clear on salvation. Didn't know for sure he was going to heaven, thought he had to commit his life to Christ, had to follow the Lord, had to continue to persevere in his faith, had all these just false assumptions when it came to the gospel message. What must I do to be saved? And he said, when DM2 came, Brett Nasworth, and when John Clark came the first time when he was 12 years old, and he's now 18. So it's been about 6 years since they first started going to Liberia. And he said, they taught Romans 1-8 to my dad. And then my dad said, you know what, son, I'm going to teach this to you. And he said, so every Friday night, he made his son sit and listen to his dad teach Romans 1-8. And he started to articulate to me, this young 18-year-old man, on how he understood finally for the first time in his life of salvation by faith alone through Christ alone, on how Romans talks about the three different types of people that are going to hell: religious, moral, and immoral people. And they're all on the broad way to hell. But yet Jesus Christ came, and he came and he died for my sins in my place. And then he went on to talk about all these conferences after he got saved and understanding the Word of God more clearly. It was amazing, like I said, listening to him. Like, he actually talked about the transitional nature of the book of Acts and how the book of Acts is transitional. It's not prescriptive, it's descriptive. And like this kid had learned so much over the years. And so it's just amazing when you think of the opportunity to go overseas to be able to teach clear doctrine. Again, why? Unfortunately, it's because a lot of bad doctrine has been exported already. In fact, thinking of another conversation that I had at the airport coming back from Liberia, I actually was in standing in line outside. They don't let you into the airport right away. Like, you have to stand outside with your bags. And then our flight was delayed. So we were outside for like 2 hours standing in line. And I just struck up a conversation with this guy next to me. He actually was his first time in Liberia, but his parents were from Liberia. And he had never been there, but he had some extended family there. So he made his first trip over there. And again, he asked what I was doing. And I said, well, I was on a mission trip. And so he asked me a little bit of details about what we were doing. And after I went through the whole scenario of what we were doing and how we were teaching pastors and we taught the book of Daniel, he's like, well, that's good. And he's like, that's kind of a relief. You know, to be honest with you, I was a little bit worried that you were going to teach them the prosperity gospel, which a picture like this comes to mind when you think of it. And he goes, unfortunately, some of his extended family have fallen prey into that method of thinking in Liberia, where it's a, kind of that name it and claim it, or that if you're God's child, he wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and he's going to bless you if you give money, you know, kind of some of, again, that false teaching, unfortunately, that I've seen. Actually, when I was in Kenya as well, It's in the Philippines. It's everywhere, unfortunately. And he was so thankful that I was not teaching the prosperity gospel. And then he asked me my testimony, and so I asked him his, and it was just a great opportunity to talk about spiritual things with this guy in the airport. But again, you can see how dangerous false teaching can be and wherever you go. So again, why go? Why go? It's again to teach clear, accurate Bible teaching. There's a great need. And again, there was an opportunity as we think about, again, the testimony. So there is the guy on the left-hand side. This is Pastor Pei. So he is the key contact over in Liberia. He's that the one, the pastor of the church that we host the conference at. Again, he kind of talked about the clarity of the gospel and how that was cleared up for him when John first started coming over, and how since then he's been all in. This is his son right here, Isaac, that told me his testimony, 18 years old as well. Again, just an amazing story. So again, where is Liberia? If you don't have a coloring sheet with you here tonight, Liberia is on the west coast of Africa, northwest coast. Again, small African country, northwest side of Africa. Again, where did we teach? We taught in a small town called Carisbrook, Liberia, which is about, shows here on the map, about 30 miles east of the capital of Monrovia. Very hot and humid climate. When I was there, it was in the 90s with the humidity about in the 90s as well. So very hot. Again, interesting culture, interesting countryside. It's a lot of rainforest, but of course there's roads. Just a little bit different scenery than we're used to here in America. Again, I think I showed this picture when I did a quick update on Sunday, but you can see, unfortunately, a lot of areas where they just have garbage alongside the road. Just very sad. I was actually talking to this guy at the airport who said when his parents grew up in Liberia, it was one of the most flourishing countries in Africa at the time. And this was before the late 90s. And then what happened was, is they entered into a civil war and the rebels actually destroyed much of the country. They literally burned buildings and forests and just everything, destroyed buildings. And they've unfortunately just really never recovered since then. They were in civil war for over 10 years, late 90s and through the 2000s, early 2000s. And it's just really unfortunate that it's just never recovered since then. So in a lot of places, it's very sad. Again, this was a main road that we took from Monrovia, but there's also dirt roads and potholes, and there's different terrain as you go. But this is a video of just the one. You can see some of the landscape and the structure. It was kind of funny. I was talking to him. I said, you know, what's different in Liberia is this is in the middle of the day and all these people and cars and are out. I said, you know, in America, especially in Minnesota in the winter, you'll never see people outside. It's funny. You go through, whether it's cities or residentials, there's just people everywhere. Just about a minute clip here of the motorcycles and the traffic. And this was not a traffic jam. We're actually moving here, so I thought this was pretty neat. You got motorcycles just passing you every once in a while, cutting you off. This is just outside of Monrovia. Yeah. Yep. That's, yeah, it's a, those are taxis, those little three-wheeled vehicles. You see that one right there? That's, they're all over the place. And it's funny. You'll see ones that say, yeah, only God knows. You'll see ones that say Jehovah saves. In Liberia, they claim to be a Christian nation. It's really interesting when you read the history of Liberia. Again, they were recolonized by a lot of freed American slaves. So back after slavery was abolished, they actually took a lot of the free slaves and they took them back to Africa, and they settled in Liberia. It was interesting talking to Mary before I left, and I said, yeah, they speak English over there. I'm really excited. And she goes, they don't speak English. She's like, we have a few young kids in our school that they need to go to ESL. And I'm like, really? I'm like, they told me they speak English. And so what's really interesting, it's funny, as I was in the car driving with them to the airport, him, the driver, and I were having good conversation. He's one of the pastors at the church, and him and I are talking, you know, he speaks very good English. And then all of a sudden, somebody in the back seat would say something, one of the other Liberians, to him. I couldn't understand it. And he would start talking to them, and they're talking English, and I couldn't understand it. It was just amazing. Like, they just, they shorten some words and they mix it together and they speak really fast. It's English, but I could only pick out like every three or four, maybe five words. So it's just amazing how, and some people you can't even quite understand, even if they try to like slow down and talk to you. But obviously they can understand us, which was great. So we could teach in English. Again, who did I go with? This is Pastor John Clark in the middle. He's a pastor down in Georgia. Many of you have met him. He attends the Duluth Bible Church Conference. Great teacher, as well as free grace, very clear in the gospel. Same thing with Rob Armstrong. He's a believer actually out of South Carolina, who got originally connected with John Clark through DM2, and has been going with John Clark to Liberia for the past number of years. Again, very, very good Bible teacher, clear on the gospel, very evangelistic. In fact, we stayed at a place called Wolke Farms. This is the place we stayed at. It's the farmer's paradise. It's a real farm. In fact, we didn't stay in the piggery. We stayed in one of the chalets. So yeah, they had a number of different animals. They had horses. They had, there was a camel for some reason there. It was just weird. They had, crocodile. Well, it's funny because they said crocodile pit. I went down there and there was nothing in there. So they must not have survived or something. Yeah, they're extinct. I don't know. So very, very interesting place. Very nice though. The chalets that we stayed in were like little tiny hotel rooms, and they were actually air conditioned. So I was very thankful for that. They had cows there. So one day we were walking back. So breakfast is about a third of a mile away from the chalet. So every day we'd walk down the road to breakfast and then walk back. Well, the one day, got a video here of us walking back from breakfast. And all of a sudden we're in this cattle drive. We'll see. I think John zooms in here. I don't know if we got volume on here or not. Obviously, you can't hear it, so not right now. They can probably hear it online. But as you can see, there's this farmer that's leading these cattle, driving these cattle down the road to a different pasture. It's kind of interesting. So this was our road, our walk back to our chalet every day. Kind of interesting. They look pretty sickly though. I don't know if you can see them. Yeah. They're not like American beef. I actually ordered a hamburger the one day. So at the farm, they had a restaurant. So we would eat breakfast every day at this farm. And then on the weekend, we actually ordered dinner. So I ordered a hamburger one night and I'm like, not quite American style hamburger. But the breakfasts were great. We had eggs every morning. And those were great. So what did we do? So the first, we got there late Friday night. And then on Saturday morning, we went to an orphanage. This is called Hope in Christ Orphanage. This is an orphanage that there's a lady that comes to the conferences, that runs this orphanage over in Liberia. And John and Rob have had the opportunity to go here a number of times, actually teach a short lesson to the kids, and just be a part of it. One of the cool things is, the kids are just so loving. You know, this is a quick video of me just John took this video of, like, as soon as I got there, they grab your hands and they're leading you around. You know, they want to show you things. This is, inside one of their school rooms. These are my kids that took me around. So we kind of split up, but you can see their chalkboard in the background. Like, they're learning like verbs, future tense verbs, perfect tense verbs. And like, we went in their math room and they're learning, you know, algebra. And Rob's like, what are they learning? I'm like, yeah, they're learning, actually. It was amazing. I don't know if we can get audio on here because I've got a couple of songs.
Well, it's that, and you actually have to set it up in the PowerPoint. So there's like escape out of your PowerPoint. You have embedded the video and embedded the sound. You have to actually adjust it in the.
Because it's because there is. It's the videos are embedded in my PowerPoint, but you can't, the sound's not coming out. So I don't know if that's coming out anywhere else. It's not either there? Where is it? I wonder. I wonder where it's going. It says Behringer out. Yeah, maybe. Let's see if that works. There you go. Can you guys hear that? Let's try this again. It'll flip. Sorry. You don't have to hold your head sideways. Here we go.
You are my prince of peace.
Told you they spoke God English, Mary.
You are my high tower.
You're gonna have this song on the phone.
There is none like you.
Yeah, so, and then Rob got up and actually just went through the gospel message with him. He's done different things with him. Rob is really interactive. He's got a heart for evangelism. We'd walk every day, we'd walk to breakfast, and there's people on the road, at workers that work on the farm, and he's got a handful of tracks. So he's handing out tracks, talking to people every day. Very evangelistic, and he's good with the kids as well. He's a character. I'm just thankful for the opportunity to go with him. So we did that on Saturday. Went to the orphanage, and we also had a meeting with some of the key church leaders as well that were attending the conference. On Sunday morning, we actually split up. John, myself, and Rob all went to different churches to be able to speak on Sunday morning at a church. I taught at, this is Pastor Pay's church, Christ Evangelical Ministry, Evangelistic Ministry. So this is Sunday at church, Sunday morning at church. They have a Sunday school service first. When I got there, Somebody was teaching Sunday school. And then they also did, let's see, I think I got some more videos in here. Some music as well. So there's our choir up front.
Might not be able to understand that one. I'm saved, I'm secure. So that was the time of singing. Then they also had this. Again, sorry, the screen will flip. This is their offering time. So I was thinking maybe we should do this. So there's a box at front. And everybody comes up and puts their offering up front. You can't? I guess you got to be here then. So they had time of song singing. They had Sunday school. They even had a baby dedication when I was there. So that was kind of interesting. Didn't fully understand what they were all saying, but they had a baby dedication ceremony there as well. Yeah, that was in English, but I still just didn't quite get it all. I knew enough to know that they were saying that, we want to raise our child up in the nurture of the Lord. And then I taught, and I actually taught out of Acts chapter 10. I taught the account of Cornelius as a message. I was talking to John Clark about what would be an appropriate message. And he talked about, of course, they really like stories. So I taught the story of Cornelius. But the important lesson there was that, this guy who seemed to be religious, was devout, and wasn't saved and needed to be saved. Yes, Craig. Oh, I'm going to play some more videos. Maybe that too. Yeah, I can. Well, let's see if that works for now. How does that sound? Is that okay now? Now I'm louder on that speaker. So then I taught on Sunday morning. Again, taught Acts chapter 10. It seemed to go well. Again, a decent amount of people at this local church. But I didn't do as well, I guess, as Rob did. Remember, Rob and John went to different churches. Well, Rob went to a church, and look what he got after he got done teaching. He got an honorarium, so they gave him a chicken and a stack of bananas. I was like, what? So he comes back from church with this gift. I'm like, wow, you must have really wowed them because they gave him a gift. So it's pretty amazing. Yeah, he's a regular. Yeah. 50 minutes. I'm like, what? Well, so that was Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, this was kind of interesting. Water factory, where, again, one of the things over in Liberia is access to clean water. We really take for granted having water wherever we're at. Even if you didn't bring a water bottle tonight, you can go over to the drinking fountain and get clean. It's pretty sad.
So you have to buy water, and they sell them in these little bags. I'll show you here. But one of the cool thing that John Clark has encouraged the Liberians to do is really is to set up kind of things that they can provide for themselves. Again, sometimes you'll see in foreign countries that they look at Americans as you're like their kind of their substance. You know, you're there to provide for them and give them money. Well, just like Duluth's model, Pastor John doesn't offer them money. He's like, you know, most of the Liberians think, well, you come here and then we let you speak and we give you money for this.
You can use that one for the speaker.
Okay. And John's like, well, how about this? You know, the biblical model is you're actually supposed to pay us to come, but we're going to forego that and we're going to offer you the word of God for free. But we're not going to support you. But we encourage you to, you know, to work and to figure out how to do these things. So they actually started this water factory, which is pretty amazing when you think about it, where they've got this machine that they can pump water and fill bags with it. Again, I'll show you here in a second that. So this was a ribbon cutting ceremony that they invited us to, and John cutting the ribbon for them, dedicating their new water factory. So what is a water factory? Here's a video showing basically water getting pumped into these bags and sealing up. And this is what most Liberians will buy and drink water out of. It's a bag. Instead of a water bottle, it's a bag of water. They also have a farm that they have started on the church grounds as well. Again, they have a ministry team where now a number of guys have come and been a part of their ministry and now volunteer on the farm, volunteer in the water factory, all part of this kind of sustain and provide for your families. So pretty neat. They've got corn growing. They've got rice. This is bags of rice that they've been able to harvest as well. They grow radishes, cucumbers. So really have done well, you know, just being able to provide. Here's a picture of them delivering their bags of water to a market, a local market. So pretty amazing when you think about how far they've come now, even just in the 6 years since John has been going. And what's that? So one bag of water is like about 30 cents in US dollars. So 30 to 40 cents for a bag. Yeah, no. They have a Liberian dollar. So, which one of our dollars is almost 200 Liberian dollars. So pretty bad exchange rate for them right now. And again, for how poor they are, the poor Liberians live on less than one US dollar a day. Less than one, which is you can buy a cup of rice and a bag or two of water a day, basically, is what they live on as an individual. So most Liberians eat one meal a day. So when we have the conference over there, we actually provide lunch for the attendees, and it's actually a great meal for them. It's usually rice and chicken and obviously water as well. Because again, most of the time, that's their only meal is a lunch meal. Again, what was the main part in our teaching? So this was, again, Sunday. We were at the church and then at the water factory. And then on Monday, we started the conference. Again, we taught the book of Daniel was what we taught through. And again, this has been about year five of a teaching curriculum with John Clark. And again, the reason why we taught the book of Daniel is because it's going through and introducing prophecy to them. And then it's going to lead into the book of Revelation, which John's going to teach on the next trip. But again, so this is the start of the conference. This is the first day of the conference on Monday morning. It was interesting. We had to start the conferences later. Normally they start at 8 or 9 in the morning, go till 4 or 5 at night. But because of a lot of the attendees are actually teachers and the kids were in school during this time, so the teachers needed to teach. So we ended up starting the conference at noon every day. So again, we'd wake up, have breakfast at the chalet, study a little bit in the morning, and then we'd go to the church for the conference starting at about noon every day. And it would start off kind of light. There'd probably be about 40 to 50 people starting. By the end of the first day, we had over 115 people that were there. Let's see. No, the church is not air conditioning. So definitely, it was hot, very hot and sticky. We actually had most of the time the fan up front here was blowing. This was blowing directly on the projector, just to make sure that, because that projector was on all day, so that didn't overheat. And then as well as the laptop. And then we had another big fan over here. You can see Rob had his own little personal fan with him. It was kind of funny. So again, and I had the privilege to be able to teach 9 lessons over there. Rob sent me a few pictures of me teaching, and I'm like, wow, I must be a charismatic teacher or something. Like every picture he sent me of me teaching, I had my hands up. So, but again, they're eager to learn. They had their workbooks, they're taking notes. We did. Well, what's interesting, here's another business that they started. So again, like DBC, you print manuals. You have a workbook with blanks for every message. And I'll show you some of that here as well. But what they did is they actually started their own printing company. So now what John Clark does is pays them to print the manuals over there instead of him packing a suitcase with all the manuals. Like we had to do when I went to the Philippines, we actually had one suitcase with just manuals and books and things. So now they print it themselves over there, and they're very nice. You can see spiral bound notebooks and stuff. So they actually have a printing business now that they started, so they can do printing for the conferences and for other things as well. Again, the schedule was pretty intense. We taught 37 lessons. We actually ended up having to revise the schedule to try to cram everything in to get done by Friday instead of getting done by Saturday morning. Intense training, teaching. Those manuals are over 150 pages thick with blanks. And again, I can show you some of that here. So one of the messages I taught is kind of the introduction of the book of Daniel, and then the questions that came up. So here would be some of the examples that we'd go through. So Daniel, why study the book of Daniel? Well, number one, Daniel is a unique book full of both fulfilled and unfulfilled prophecies. Obviously, the words underlined would be ones that they would have to fill in on their handouts. Why study the book of Daniel? The book of Daniel gives us a panorama of history from the time of Daniel until the end of the rule of humankind. Daniel details Israel's future as well as the demise of the kingdom rule of fallen man. So why, again, study the book of Daniel? Daniel is essential to unlocking biblical prophecy, and it's an important key to exposing many other Old and New Testament prophecies concerning end times. And they're like Americans. If you go too fast and they miss a blink, they'll yell at you. So you gotta. So one of our favorite things was we'd do that, and they'd be like, go back. It'd be like, okay, you missed a blink. Okay, here we go. So we'd have to go back. Yeah. Wait, go back. Again, Daniel is a very important book. It's also a narrative history, which is great. So the first 6 chapters of Daniel, it's a great narrative, and it gives us encouragement for living in the times of the Gentiles like we are today. And you could say even a godless pagan society. You think of Daniel and standing strong in chapter 1 and refusing to eat the king's delicacies. Why? Because it went against his beliefs. And as believers today, we're constantly being bombarded with false beliefs out there that we as believers can take heart in. Again, not only does it reveal God's plan for Israel, but also for all of humankind. Daniel is quoted and alluded to more than any other Old Testament book in the New Testament. Did you know that? Has more fulfilled prophecies than any other book in the Bible. It is the key to unlocking and interpreting prophecy. Again, so why study the book of Daniel? That was another question that my coworker had asked me. And I said, one of the important things is understanding really the key theme, and we try to keep emphasizing this in the book of Daniel, is that God is sovereign over human history. As you see throughout the book of Daniel, the rise and fall of kingdoms, you have Nebuchadnezzar's, the head of gold kingdom, and what happens? He fails, right? And then you have Medo-Persia, and then you have Greece. And what you see is that these kingdoms will rise and will fall. God sets up kings and he removes kings. But yet, guess what? God is still sovereign. God is still in control. So it's, again, a key to understanding the sovereignty of God, but also God's plan for human history is that one day we'll be in the 70th week of Daniel. Well, there will be a 70th week of Daniel. The tribulation time will be in heaven. So understanding some of those key concepts as well in the future. So again, very important book. Again, at the conference, so we started at noon, and they started with lunch. So every day during the conference, we got served lunch. They cooked it right there at the church. We had rice and chicken every day. It was actually very good. We were very thankful to be able to eat with them right there at the conference. Here's a picture. I got a question for you. I took this picture. This was on our way. I did on Thursday morning. They took me into town to buy some souvenirs. So I got a question. Does anybody know what this is? Anybody got a guess? This is on the side of the road. Noah. What is it? Tomato juice? So you think this is a store, right? You think this is a store and you think these are tomato juice? Anybody else? I can't let you answer yet, Lucy. You probably know the answer. What's that? Get well, medical. I'll give you a hint. It has nothing to do with this back here. So this is on the side of the road. I was thinking of Mr. Todd when I saw this. Anybody see what he's doing?
Yeah.
It's gasoline. I don't know why this picture isn't coming up. This is gas. He's pouring gas out of the jar into the motorcycle, and that's how he filled up our car too. 3 gallons. We filled her up 3 gallons. No, not quite. No, nope, no. No, that's nothing. Again, that's just graffiti. Guess how much gas is over there? You think we have it bad? $8 a gallon. $8 per gallon. American dollars. So we got $3. We got 3 gallons. Cost $24 for 3 gallons of gas. And obviously it's inflated from the U.S., but like he said, it tracks with the U.S. So if U.S. is up, they're up. If it's down, it goes down, but it's never, never below $5 a gallon. Yeah, isn't that crazy? You think about most people over there live on less than $1 a day. You know, healthy people live on about $15 a day, and gas costs $8 a gallon. That's why most people don't have vehicles. They either take a taxi or most people walk places. You think about it. It's amazing. Again, just how they have to live. So again, what a privilege it is to be able to share and to teach to the people the word of God. Again, as you think of at the conference, going through the book of Daniel. One of the other things I was thinking of sharing is an opportunity that I had on Friday morning. So I did bring my running clothes with me there. John told me I could at least run up and down the road. And I didn't have my phone with me, so I didn't have a picture of this day. But I went for a run on Friday morning, and I was thinking and praying about, you know, Lord, you know, what kind of opportunities could I have? You know, who would you have me to share with, perhaps opportunities? And again, every day at the farm, you're walking, or when I would go for a run, you'd see people. There's workers always alongside the road. Everybody's very friendly, very happy.
a lot of times I would see, because I would run in the mornings, I would see kids going to school in the morning. So some people actually lived, their families lived right on the farm. A lot of the people that worked on the farm had houses somewhere on the farm property as well. So I would see kids going to school, and they'd be smiling and waving as I'm jogging down the road. On this particular Friday morning, I'm praying and asking the Lord, how could I be used today? Where could you use me? And I decided to take a little detour, as you can see here. This was my normal route. But I decided to take a little detour, go a different route. And as I was coming back, passing people again, waving, just saying hi, all of a sudden I was running, and a young man's like, "Hey, I need to talk to you." And I'm like, "Okay." So I stopped and I said, "Hi, how are you doing? You know, what's your name?" And he said, "Esau." And I said, "Esau." Oh, I said, "I'm Joe. I said, I'm a missionary here from America. We're here telling people about Jesus." He goes, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know Jesus?" And he goes, "Well, I don't really know him." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, he lived a long time ago, right?" He's like, "Yeah, I get it. But do you know of him?" He goes, "Yeah, I've heard about Jesus." And now this young man spoke good English, so I could understand him well. And again, if there are a lot of them that go to school or are very educated, are easier to understand. So he was very articulate. And I said, so you know about Jesus? "Yeah, yeah." And I said, "Well, can I ask you a question, Esau?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, let me ask you, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?" And he goes, "Yeah, I think so." And I said, "Okay, well, why? What do you think you have to do in order to get into heaven, Esau?" And he said, "Well, you have to follow Jesus Christ." And I said, "Oh." I said, "You have to follow him, huh?" And I said, "Well, Esau, tell me, what would happen if you stopped following Jesus Christ?" And he goes, "Well, then I'd go to hell." And I said, "Well, Esau, can I share a verse with you?" And he goes, yeah, sure. And we were walking, because he had to go to school. So I just walked along with him as he was walking to school, not taking a bus, not getting a ride, walking. So I'm walking with him, and I said, "Can I share John 3:16 with you?" And I said, "Do you know John 3:16? That's amazing. Most people do." And he goes, "Yeah, I do." So I said, "Well, tell me it." So he quotes it: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that if whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I said, "Yeah, that's exactly it." I said, "That's a great verse. You know why? It tells you what you have to do to go to heaven." He goes, "Oh, okay." And I said, "Does that verse say that whosoever will follow him will have eternal life?" He goes, "Yeah." And I go, no, it doesn't. It said, "Whosoever does what?" And he goes, "Believes." And I said, "Yeah, exactly. Believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I said, "That's different." I said, "Does God want us to follow him after we get saved and are Christian?" "Absolutely. But that is not what you need to do in order to get into heaven." See, this verse is clear that God so loved the world that he did something. He gave us Jesus Christ. And I said, "Esau, why did he have to give us Jesus Christ?" He said, "To pay for all sins." I said, "Yeah, for our sins, right? For your sins and for my sins." He goes, "Yeah." And I said, "But does that mean everybody goes to heaven, Esau?" "Well, maybe not the really bad ones." I said, "But see, didn't Christ die for all sins?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Do you know that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and that we actually all deserve to go to hell?" And I said, "And it's not by following him that we receive the gift of eternal life, but just as John 3:16 says, it's by doing what? Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, by accepting him as your personal savior." It was just an amazing conversation. I don't even know if that's what he wanted to talk to me about. You know, that's what was so funny. Like, for some reason, I'm running down the road and praying and thinking, and this kid wanted to talk to me about something. I just started talking about spiritual things. I don't know if that's what he wanted to talk about, or if he probably wanted to ask me something else, but the Lord just really opened the door to be able to talk to this young man. Unfortunately, I didn't have my Bible, of course, with me, or my phone, even nothing to be able to share with him. But as we just talked through it, as we walked down the road together, more and more, he just really seemed to understand. But you can see
how that false teaching and just not being clear on the gospel comes through with people. And like I said, I've been on other mission trips where I've seen the same thing, where people will, in fact, when we were in the Philippines, we would give people surveys that came to the conference, and it would say, check all the things you think are necessary in order that you must do to have eternal life. And it had things like ask Jesus into your heart, pray the sinner's prayer, confess all your sins, give your life to Jesus, make Jesus Lord of your life. It had a, you know, all of those. And it even had a box called other, you know, most of the time we'd have people check every single box, every single one, like, yeah, you got to do all that. You got to do everything. And it's just so confusing and so liberating when you share with people like the simple truth of the gospel message, like John 3:16. Same thing that Pastor Pei and his son Isaac told me when they talked about their testimony and how they were so confused before the teaching of grace came. And Romans 1 through 8 really clarified the simplicity of the gospel message and the simple response of faith alone in Christ alone. So after talking to Isa, I ran back to the chalet and I had some gospel booklets, and I asked him before I left. I said, so you live on the farm here? And he said, yeah. I said, do you know any of the workers at the restaurant? And he goes, yeah, I know them. And I said, do you know Marley? She's been our waitress. You know, she's been helping us. John knows her well. I said, if I give her a booklet to give to you, do you think you can stop by and get it? He goes, yeah, I'll get it. So I ran back to my chalet, and before breakfast on Friday morning, I grabbed a gospel booklet, and I just wrote my email address in it and put two Esau from Joe on it, and gave it to our waitress at the restaurant and begged her, you know, there's this young man, Esau. And she goes, yeah, I know him. He lives over here. And I said, I really want him to have this booklet, and that he would know for sure he has eternal life. And we've had some good conversations with Marley. John has talked to her, obviously, over the years, believe she is saved. So I think she was interested in definitely getting that gospel booklet to Esau. But again, what a great opportunity to be able to go and to minister. And I just thought, wow, sometimes we pray for things to happen. You know, you're praying about something, and then all of a sudden it happens. You're like, wow. God actually answered prayer. Like, you almost are surprised. It's like, we shouldn't be surprised. Of course, God answers prayer. Pastor Eric taught about that. God delights to answer our prayers when we pray according to his will. And again, so what an opportunity to be able to go, to be able to teach the word of God to people in Liberia, and to be able to, again, just strengthen and encourage them. Again, the goal is to then be able to give them this curriculum. We give them the notes. We give them the teacher's notes. We gave them the PowerPoint. We even recorded our sessions, the MP3s, and gave them the MP3s. Because the goal is again, that they would now take that material and teach others also. So the idea is you don't just, again, you can't teach everybody, right? How do you pick who you teach? Well, if you teach the church leaders and the pastors and those that are willing to teach others, then they take that message and go teach people. So it's duplicating the ministry. And so that's the whole model. I know Duluth has sought to do, as well as DM2 has sought to do, and now John Clark is doing through his local church. So again, great opportunity to be able to go and to teach, and then give them those materials so that they could go and teach others also. So again, why go? Got one more video here. So why should we do missions? Why should we go? Oh, yeah. Got to turn it back up again here. And Eric, if you need me to get any of these songs, let me know.
Start next week.
Yes. This
We are one being.
It's not the righteousness, but lightning's grace alone. It's not the righteousness, but lightning's grace alone.
And we are complete in thee. It's not by works of righteousness. It's amazing when you see that effect that the gospel message has on people and the freeness of that message. In fact, I was just thinking, I think I missed one other suggestion we might have here for prayer on Wednesday nights, Eric. Let's see if I can find it. Ooh, there it is. Let's see if this works. I got an audio file. I didn't record it. A video because we were praying. But the first day of the conference, they asked the guy to get up and lead in prayer. So this is how they open the conference with prayer. I was thinking maybe we could do this on Wednesday nights. Oh. Try that again.
In Jesus, I we pray. Let's pray that God will open our hearts tonight as we hear and will comprehend and receive the word that will come. Let's pray in that direction.
So if you heard him here, he said, let us pray that this would happen. And everybody listens to him. And then he said, let's pray. And everybody starts praying at the same time. So that's what they're doing. Everybody's praying that prayer.
We pray that we want to receive your righteousness. We put us our righteousness in your hands. And so, help us understand it. Our mind. We know every student has given out of place. We are not the right way to work, sir. We have the power of in our lives. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, you think about it, though. Can God hear every one of us at the same time? Absolutely. It's just a little bit, like you said, a little bit chaotic for us. It's like, wait a minute here. I thought somebody was praying and everybody starts praying at the same time. I was like, wow, that maybe we could try that on Wednesday nights here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. And as some lessons here that we can take from the librarians. But yeah, it's amazing. Different culture, different way of living. But at the same time, the gospel message is the same. And it has the same effect on people that, people see the clarity of the gospel and can get saved. And then they have a zeal to be able to share it with others, their family, their friends, and be a part of this ministry. So they're excited for the teaching. They're always so thankful for I know John, they really appreciate his ministry and being there. One of the unique things with John's ministry is he's been going there for 6 years. I think the plan is he's still got two more years of curriculum. So it's short-term missions, but he goes twice a year. And he's taken, you know, them through a whole curriculum of material where now you're effectively teaching. It's like a Gibbs class, basically, where they can now teach sound doctrine to others as well. So that's all I have as far as videos or audios or pictures. Any other questions or thoughts? Yeah, Rick. You know, it was interesting for most of it. I did. The only time that was a little bit questionable, let's see if I can find a picture here, was this morning where they took me into town to do some shopping. And as we're driving through town, we go through a couple of different smaller areas and it would be slow. So we had our windows down, no air conditioning in the car. The windows are down, it's hot. I'm taking pictures out the window and all of a sudden we're slowing down, going through a neighborhood. All of a sudden the window starts going up and I look over, he's rolling up my window because it's in a sketchy kind of party. He's like, yeah, he's like, you don't want to have your phone out the window here. Like if you slow down enough, they'll just rip it right out of your hand right there. Yeah. So, yeah. But otherwise, like we said, at the farm, and it's interesting that it was gated. They actually had a big gate to get into the farm. The church building is the same way, where it's usually fenced off and gated. So I don't know if that's just more what they do to for theft. But I asked them, because it seemed like most people were pretty good. I said, do any Liberians have guns? Like, is that a common thing? He's like, yeah, a few. But for the most part, like I said, I felt safe. And we did go into town that one day and go through the market. I kept asking him, I'm like, I wonder how many, you know, white people you see in Carysburg, you know, Liberia, or maybe in some of the bigger cities. I said, are they more stay in the bigger cities like Monrovia? And he said, yeah, they do. Carysburg, a lot of times, are some of those remote areas, you won't see very many white people. So, but yet, like I said, I stood out a little bit. Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Very far distances to come to the workshop.
They did. Yeah, there was some people that were about in Kakata, which I guess is like an hour or so bus ride or trip. So yeah, and that's why they kind of revolted after the first night. Because we were going to preach till 8 o'clock at night, and it's dark by six. And like I said, some of them had to walk home. Some of them still had to take a taxi, and it's just, you should see the roads at night. It's very dangerous, kind of scary. You know, scary enough during the day, but at night, I would not want to be walking on the side of the road. So the first night they kind of revolted. It was so late for them, but we did tell them, you know, if they wanted to finish the conference by Friday, that we'd have to go till 8 o'clock at night. So most of them were willing to do it. Some of them had to leave before the last session in order to get home. Like I said, it was an hour with that lady. That came, Edith, that runs the orphanage. She walks. It's an hour walk one way for her. So she walked to the conference there and back home every day. So yeah, pretty amazing. Any other? Esau is 18 now. Or no, that Esau as well. Yep. On the road. Yep. He's 18 as well. Yep. Because I asked him how old he is. Yep. Yeah, he is 18. Yeah, I asked him, you know, obviously, how old do you, you know, seems like they do school the same way we do, where they have high school up until somewhere around there. I was talking to one of the guys. He said, depends, you know, obviously how advanced. Sometimes you might be 20 or something before you're done with high school. But in some, you know, it's interesting, like John was saying, it seems like they're kind of following American trends. Like I said, they still consider themselves a Christian nation, but I was talking to one of the guys even about, you know, some of the cultural shifts over there as well. He said a lot of families are now pushing their kids into sports, especially soccer. Football over there is big for them. And he said one of the interesting things is they're seeing this trend in women's soccer where they're starting to get into lesbianism. And it's something that's so taboo in their culture right now that it's like so wrong, but now it's starting to, you know, kind of infiltrate their culture a little bit. So it seems like they're just behind the United States and coming more and more down that path. Yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, well, they had different groups, obviously different age kids. So some of them you saw in the video, were definitely older. You know, what's also amazing, is that Rob told me, you know, this orphanage, what's the purpose of an orphanage? Take care of orphans and then ultimately until they get adopted, right? You know how many kids have gotten adopted out of this orphanage? Zero, not a single one. So most of these kids grow up in an orphanage and that's their whole life. But yeah, so you can see there's definitely some older kids as well, because they're there and basically until they can take care of themselves. In fact, Pastor Pei, his wife, grew up in this orphanage. So she's actually from there as well. So yeah, you see a wide variety of kids and ages that are a part of this. But yeah, unfortunately, not one of them has ever gotten adopted. Yeah, Mary.
No, it's run by that that lady, Edith. She's a Liberian. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And they do get supported from a couple different, I guess, ministries out of the United States as well. But obviously not very much. So you can see they have enough. But one of the cool things was I brought a suitcase full of snacks and candy. My coworker, I found out at work, is from her parents are from Liberia. And I said, you know, what should I bring? You know, because we talked about bringing some kids' clothes and some different things for them. She's like, they really like American snacks. And I'm like, really? I'm like, ask your mom, because her mom still lives in Liberia. So I'm like, ask her, what kind of snacks? And so she's like, she came back the next day and told me, like, suckers, hard candies. They like Oreos, Cheez-Its, and crackers. So Charity went to Walmart and just loaded up. And I packed one of my suitcases just full of snacks. So we brought a bunch of the candy to this place, to the orphanage. And then I gave a bunch of the snacks, like the Cheez-Its and Oreos and stuff, at the conference the one day for the Liberians to eat at the conference. So that would have been a good idea. I probably should have brought some toothbrushes. Yeah, they're probably not too used to having candy. Oops. So yeah, it was a special treat. So yeah, we were able to provide that. We did also provide some of your funding went. I donated directly to this orphanage as well. So some of the money that Grace Gospel Bible Church put in towards this, you guys supported this orphanage. You know, just thinking again, praying about what kind of opportunities, because again, you can't help everybody, right? So where could the Lord use you? And this was one area I was like, you know, I think this is well worth it. So yeah, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. It's really sad when you think of the Civil War and what that has done to the country, and the state they're at. But yet, like John told me, look around and look at a lot of the people and the kids. And like my coworker said, I knew what she was going to say. Is she's like, just wait till you see the kids and what, you know, what's the one thing you notice about them? They're smiling. They're happy. Yeah. It's amazing. Cause I've seen that in other countries as well. Like, you know, they're dirt poor. They're running around in half torn clothes and sandals and cheap stuff, but yet they're happy. They're joyful. You know, they don't know any better or different. And you know, you look at our living conditions and you're just like, wow, how could we ever be unthankful compared to this? And that's why I just think it's a great opportunity to go in to get you to reset on how blessed we really are. Any other questions or thoughts? Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Well, that's all we have tonight. I can close us with a word of prayer here and then we'll be done. Dear Heavenly Father, again, God, we thank you that we can just again share what you're doing in Liberia, God, as well as we know that you have people all over the world, God. You have us here, even now in the Twin Cities area, God. You've called us, as I told the Liberians, for such a time as this, God. And what a privilege that we have to have the gospel message, God. What a treasure that we can share the hope of eternal life with people and know for sure they're going to heaven. We thank you, God, again, for the privilege to be ambassadors, to be used of you. Thank you for Grace Gospel Bible Church and even partnering in this ministry, God, being able to pray for me, to be able to support it, God, to again be able to share the word of God with these people. We just pray again for wisdom and direction as we continue to look for opportunities to where to be used of you and where you'd have us to go. And so we thank you again for this evening. We commit it to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.